Welcome to the Get to the Point podcast, a podcast for busy women who want to have real conversations about fitness, nutrition, and lifestyle, but without rambling or wasting time. Let's get to the point. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Get to the Point podcast. This is your host, Leslie Ann. On the podcast today, I have with me Coach Kelly, and we are kicking off a new podcast series about the theme of ownership. This word just keeps popping up in conversations that we're having here on the Real Fitness team. And it's influenced one of the new programs that we've just launched. And Kelly and I were having a conversation about it, and we decided let's make it a podcast. So we are talking all about ownership for the next three episodes. And in today's episode, I have Kelly joining me. Kelly, for somebody who is new to the podcast, doesn't know you, go ahead, introduce yourself and tell us where you are and what you do.
Well, I am in Florida. I'm in the Tampa Bay area, and I have been in the fitness industry 18 years, coming up on my anniversary from when I started. Wow. I have been teaching group fitness and personal training for almost two decades now, which is kind of mind-boggling. I'm an empty nester, postmenopausal mama, and we just have a dog at home. The three kids have flown the coop, which is awesome. And my youngest just turned 21 last week. So wow. Yeah, that's me.
That's a big deal. You made it.
Yeah.
So I'm so pumped to dig into this topic in the next three episodes. But today we are going to start by talking about some words that these are probably going to step on some toes. Don't you think, Kelly?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But we shoot straight here and we get to the point. We don't sugarcoat things, but we want to start this ownership series of podcast episodes by talking about how we get in our own way when it comes to changing our habits, changing our lifestyle, losing body fat, building muscle, and maintaining that. And one of the ways that we've seen over and over again, like Kelly said, she has, you know, years of experience as a coach and trainer. I do as well. These are words that have just become part of the lexicon. It's just part of everyone's vocabulary if they are working out, trying to eat better, trying to lose weight, whatever. So that's what we're going to start with right now. Kelly, what are some of these words/phrases or statements that pop up all the time that you hear as a coach and trainer that you really think are setting people back, words that just need to get out of our vocabulary if we really want to change our lifestyles?
Phrases like, I'm a sugar addict. I think it's all about identifying yourself as something negative, identifying as my entire family is overweight. So I'm just destined to be overweight. I'm a sugar addict. And then I think the biggest one is I don't feel like it. And honestly, if we wait until we feel like doing a lot of things, we are going to be waiting a really long time. I don't feel like it comes in with life. We don't feel like momming today if we've got little kids, but we have to. We have to go to work if we have a job. We have to take care of our kids. And I think somehow eating right and exercising just gets put on the, well, I'll do it when I feel like it. And you're not going to feel like it most of the time. Yeah. You're going to take the easy way out.
Absolutely. Any other words or phrases that are on your list of things that just.
I can't is a big one. That limiting phrase, I can't. And there are things that, I can't do a pull-up. But that's my own fault. And I know that. And I know
that. You could do a pull up.
What's that?
You could do a pull up.
I probably could. But I know that I can learn. And so instead of saying I can't do pull ups, I say I'm not working on doing pull ups. And when I decide I'm ready to, I will learn to do pull ups. That's just it's different way of looking at things. Saying I can't eat right. Well, then you're not gonna. But if you say, I need to learn how to eat better for me and find a way of doing that, that's going to help. But as a friend of mine says, drop that T. Yes, you can. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the cliche quote? Whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. So yes, yeah. It's up to you. Can you or can't Absolutely. You decide.
There's a coaching, I coach high school swimming, and my coaching mentor, the guy who got me into it, used to always talk about this book. How do we talk to ourselves? And that internal dialogue, if it's always negative, it's setting ourselves up to fail. And we have to flip that around and learn how to talk nice to ourselves. You know, sometimes we say things in our head or aloud to ourselves that we would never say to another human. We would never do that. But boy, can we be nasty to ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Love those. So just to recap, the first one was...
I'm a sugar addict.
Okay. So like those labels.
Or those labels, you know, all the labeling. But the big one, I don't feel like it and I can't. Yeah.
Number two and then number three. Yeah. So three phrases right there from Coach Kelly. Write those down, y'all. You catch those coming out of your mouth.
Just smack yourself.
Smack yourself. All right. I'm going to share mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hear yours.
All of mine are kind of around the same idea. It's like different versions of the same concept. It is anything around this idea of starting over. So it's words like reset or, I need to start over. I need a clean slate. I need to get back on track. I fell off the wagon. I need to get back on. All of these words that are related to the idea of starting over with how you eat, how you train, how you live. And I just shared this morning in our 7-day challenge group that we're running this week, called Simple Start, because I want everyone to start with the right mindset. And so many people came into this challenge saying, oh, I need this challenge because I need a reset. I need to get back on track. And what we're trying to get you guys to understand is that you only start this journey once. And that's a good thing. You actually don't want to keep starting over and over and over again. And the reason behind that is because everything that you've done leading up to this point, it's not a failure. They're not mistakes. You see them as that, but they've actually been opportunities to learn. They're all little like insights, little windows into you and how you work and what makes you tick and what ultimately is going to be your solution to creating something you can actually stick with. So getting this language out of our mouths around resetting and I need to start over. I need to sign up for a new program. It's just keeping you stuck in this cycle that this is something that you start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. And what it ultimately is pointing to, I think, is that all or nothing mindset, that fixed mindset, which you just touched on too. It's, you know, anytime I make a mistake, I need to start over. Or, Absolutely. You know, I can't do this. I need to find something else. When really you just need to get up and keep practicing and keep doing more of what you've been doing.
Well, it's always interesting to me, like in life, where do we learn the most? From our mistakes.
Totally.
In work, where do we learn the most? When we screw up something at work, we learn from that. Somehow there's a disconnect with fitness and nutrition.
Yeah. Why do we treat it differently? Right.
I don't know, but we do. And when we mess up there, it's like, it should be the same mindset of, okay, what can I learn from this and let's forge ahead. And instead it's, well, I blew it again.
Yeah.
There's something different there. Mm-hmm. And I wish there weren't.
It's very
strange. Maybe our listeners will get from that, treat it just the same. It's a learning opportunity.
Yeah. And I think too, with like the population that we work with, which tends to be very highly successful, very educated, very driven women in their 30s, 40s, 50s on average. That's kind of like the sweet spot for who we work with. Like when we do introductions for our programs and these ladies tell us what they do for a living, it's crazy.
Oh yeah.
They are lawyers, they're surgeons, they're small business owners, they have four kids, they
corporate executives,
just
like high up.
Yeah. Multi-million dollar companies, working very high up in leadership at massive companies that you would know the names of. And I just think like, well, on the path to get where you're at, did you never mess up? Like, did you never get a bad grade on anything in law school or med school? I think you probably did. And you kept going anyway. And now, like, now look at where you are. You're a partner. You're the head surgeon. You're the corporate VP or whatever you are. But you're right. For some reason, we treat it differently. And I think if we attacked our health with the same tenacity and focus and like grit that we apply to our careers and our families, man, I think it'd be a different world.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I think we don't have this forgiveness with ourselves and understanding that when you come into working out for the first time or the first time in a while or learning nutrition, there is a learning curve. You don't know everything. That's why you're there. You need to learn it. And along the way, just like learning any process, think of a toddler learning to walk and how many times they fall down and they get back up. A teenager learning to drive and how many times they aren't doing so great, but they keep going. And eventually it becomes second nature. My husband's a pilot and he flies with this one pilot who carries an easy button in the cockpit, puts it out like in the middle of the cockpit. And after a landing, anytime the guy has a good landing, he will jokingly tap it and that was easy. You know, but it, people ask my husband all the time, is flying a plane easy? And he's like, well, it is for me, but he's got decades of experience flying an airplane. So it looks easy to him. It comes second nature to him. But if one of us started out learning to fly, it wouldn't be easy. No. So, you know, everything you've got to be patient with yourself and learn along the way, not just throw in the towel as soon as things get challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to talk about that when we get later into this podcast episode of something we're going to talk about. But yeah, the first thing we wanted to talk about with you guys under this topic of ownership was the language, the words that you say to yourself, whether they come out when you're talking to other people, your coach, your trainer, whoever, or they're just things that you have in your head that you say to yourself. Those need to change. Cause when those change, like then you'll see your behavior, your beliefs, your actions, like then everything else follows and starts to get in line. But it really starts with those mindset cues and those words that you believe about yourself. So those can really, really hold you back, even though they just feel like these things you just fly out of your mouth. Like, I just need to start over. I need to reset. I need to start over. No, whoa, 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 whoa. Like there's a lot going on there that you need to unpack and slow down and figure out. So yeah, the second thing that we've been talking about under this idea of ownership is how we can have the best trainer, the best program, work with someone really, really good. But if we come into it with the wrong mindset and we're bringing all this diet baggage crap with us, then it's still not going to work. And I think you have a really cool story of how even after, you know, when you did the program years ago, it still took you a couple years afterwards for things to click in your brain for you to flip that switch and start to own it. So what triggered that? Like, what was that process like for you?
It was, I came from a dieting background. Like my first diet was in elementary school with my mom. Mm. And my mom is and was a chronic dieter, on and off Weight Watchers. But in that particular case, it was a cabbage soup diet. We ate cabbage soup. That was god awful. No, so horrible. So I spent my life swinging between restrictive dieting or kind of a free for all. And Fat Loss Lifestyle School, this was the first time it was like, oh, it doesn't have to be. I remember saying, I was at Bunko one night and saying, as I was eating and, you know, I dropped some weight and people were saying stuff, I'm like, it's really not hard. And they were all looking at me like, are you kidding me?
Shut up, you jerk.
Because, you know, right, shut up. Diet mentality, you know, every diet I'd been on was hard. I then swung and took what I'd done with Fat Loss Lifestyle School. And I did make it a little more restrictive than it needed to be for a while.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then I swung a little bit the other way, and stopped taking ownership of my workouts and was going out on too many date nights or date days with my husband as the kids were getting older. I think when it finally clicked was somewhere along the way, I just realized nobody's doing this for me. Nobody's going to come save me. And if I want to live a certain way and feel a certain way, I've got to take ownership. I've got to do these things. And I don't feel like it. It really doesn't matter if you feel like it. You got to get your butt and do the, lift the weights, make the meals, prep a few things so you have stuff on hand. And I just got sick of my own shit, frankly.
Yes.
I got sick of my own shit.
That's so powerful too.
Yeah. I just was like, enough, enough. You know what to do. Do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of got to the same point. I think for me when that like switch flipped was I had, even after like I was a certified personal trainer, I had accumulated like all these certifications for training and nutrition. I'd been working with clients and I had, you know, all this, you know, all these certifications and things, but I still felt like I need to hire a coach. I need to hire a trainer because it's going to help me stay accountable. And it's, you know, it's going to get me results. And I think I actually hired a coach, paid quite a lot of money for it, and then got into it a few weeks and was like, I don't need this anymore. Like this is actually something, this is on me. And that was, it sucks that I had to spend a lot of money to get to realize that. I didn't ask for a refund. I was like, oh, well, here we go. I got this coach. Am I just going to finish it out? But yeah, I was like, I don't need to keep signing up to work with people. Like fat loss and building muscle, it's actually really simple. The hard part is in the repetition and the practice and just the keeping going. That's the hard part. And hiring a coach doesn't really fix that for you. Like you have to do that for yourself. Yeah. So that for me was like the light bulb moment that like, I no longer needed someone to like motivate me or hold me accountable. I didn't need like the excitement of signing up for new things. I just finally stopped relying on excitement and novelty and entertainment. And this is a big reason why I stopped teaching so many group fitness classes too, because that was an entertainment thing. And that was an ego thing. I stopped relying on those so heavily for my workouts and started working out more on my own.
Same. I've gone, you know, over the years, at one point, I think I taught 11 group fitness classes a week. 11.
Same.
What the hell?
Yep.
I'm now at 4.
Right.
And I'm a baby step kind of person. I am not a just, you know, I make little gradual changes and, you know, I've just dropped a little bit at a time, but it has opened up the opportunity for me to do my own lifting rather than teaching body pump a bunch of times a week. And, the results when I think what happens too, as you start taking ownership and you start doing the things, you also start feeling like a boss, you know, it's like, I did this
on my own,
you build that mental muscle too, because you are getting stronger at making things happen.
Yeah.
And it feels great. It's kind of like we say, don't wait for motivation to do things, do the things, and that's going to give you more motivation. It's a snowball effect. As you do and you start seeing results, you start feeling better and you want to keep it going.
Yeah. And as counterintuitive as it seems, like once I stopped relying on the excitement and the entertainment and the novelty with my workouts and my nutrition, and this sounds horrible, but I embraced the boredom. I embraced the suck. I embraced the solitude of doing it by myself. And I didn't need anybody like patting me on the head or doing it with me or high-fiving me. Because at the end of the day, like, it's you. It's on you. And like you said, when you finally get to that point, it's also incredibly empowering.
Very much so. Yeah. And it really is. And yeah, the group fitness part, I still love people and I love you know, but I found a happy place and I think everybody can do that. And, totally. You know, if you like group fitness, we're not saying never teach or never take another class.
Yeah.
just find that happy place where you can do a little bit of both.
Yeah. It's not my whole world anymore. And it was for right. way too long, and it held me back in so many ways. So yeah, finding the happy balance, and carving out that time for yourself and making yourself do hard things. Like nothing that is priceless. That is priceless.
And the walking too. I mean,
yeah, that's another boring, solitary activity that no one feels like doing ever.
Yeah. I mean, it can be a social thing. I mean, that's one of the things I try to encourage people. If they, you know, if they have a regular, let's go get lunch or let's go get drinks instead, how about, why don't you guys go take a walk? And that's a great way to connect or make a phone call and connect with somebody you haven't talked to in a while, except via text.
Yeah.
Getting those steps in, great opportunity for that.
Yeah. So I think for the ownership series, this is a really good head start. We've talked about language, the words that we say to ourselves about ourselves. We've talked about mindset and when we kind of both had that light bulb moment and decided to start taking ownership and stop relying on other people and other things to do it for us. So the next episode, I'm going to have Coach Jen on, and this idea of ownership is actually what inspired her to create a new small group coaching program that we're calling the Mindset and Muscle Mentorship. They're almost done. They're 4 weeks in now. So it'll be exciting to have her on the podcast and hear like an update for how that's going.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think the bottom line is you got to quit quitting on yourself. And that's really, you know, that's who it is. It's you. It's on you. Quit quitting.
Yeah.
Don't let yourself down.
And I told you at the beginning, this was going to be a little bit of a we're stepping on your toes kind of episode, but I mean, it's necessary.
It is.
You got to hear the hard truth sometimes. And knowing that like you're the only one standing in your way, no one wants to hear that. Once you finally realize that and you get out of your own way, then the doors fly open and the results start coming and it's like a whole new level. Hello. So it's, we're saying it because we love you and we want you to be successful. We want you to live, like we say, like live your best life. And this is how you get there. It's how we got there. And it's what we love teaching you guys how to do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Kelly, where can people find you online on social media if they want to connect with you?
I am on Facebook, Kelly McGee Erickson, and I am on Instagram as Kappa Gator, Kappa like Kappa Kappa Gamma, Gator like Go Gators,
Florida.
University of Florida. Yeah. So Kappa, KAPPAGATOR on Insta.
And if for some reason you can't find her, just find us at Real Fitness Training. She's tagged in a bunch of our posts. We're always reposting her in our stories. So you can find Kelly via us. All right. Thanks for listening to today's episode. We will see you guys real soon for episode number 2 in the ownership series. If you have any thoughts, hit us up on Instagram in our DMs. We would love to hear from you guys and hear your thoughts on this episode. It's at Real Fitness Training. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next one. If you're listening to today's episode in real time, our next 6-week online fat loss program starts soon. Monday, April 10th, 6 weeks of Fat Loss Lifestyle School begins, and we won't be running the program again until the fall. So this is your last chance to work with us for quite a long time. If you want all the details and you want to get signed up, head over to realfitnesstraining.com and click Get Started. You'll see the drop-down box for Fat Loss Lifestyle School. If you have any questions, you can always reach out at LeslieAnn@realfitnesstraining.com. We would love to hear from you, and we would love to see you in Fat Loss Lifestyle School.